who was an activist.
She was an activist, and she was an advisor to U.S. senators, representatives, governors, mayors. She was very close with Mayor Lawrence on all the projects, certainly all the progressive projects in which she was interested. She, through her kindly and warm personality and her dedication, she was able to introduce to interest people of a more diverse nature than anyone I knew. She was able to introduce the president and chairman of the board of the Coppers Company, for example, into being active as chairman of MEAD. She was able to introduce presidents of banks, heads of corporations, insurance companies, politicians, educators in the projects, and she was able to mobilize fabulous support for her welfare ideas, her education ideas, her social ideas, her Jewish interests. She was active in Hadassah. She was active in the Council of Jewish Women. She was active in UJ, the United Jewish Federation. She was active in the in the Israel Bond Organization. She was interested in Montefiore Hospital. Interested in all hospitals. She had friends in every layer of society, in every geographical section. And she was very close to Senator Clark. She was very close to the mayor of Philadelphia, was her name, who worked with Joe Clark. While Dave Lawrence was mayor and governor, Lawrence Reisner was one of his closest advisors, and she was one of those he listened to very much. She was really the founder of the Human Relations Organization in Pittsburgh. She became its first chairman. She organized the state Human Relations Organization. She became its state chairman. And she was active in every cause in which she had an interest. When I say active, I mean she gave money, she mobilized opinion. She took an active part in seeing to it that the ideas were carried out. She fought off opposition. She dealt in every aspect of everything in which she was interested. She was interested in education. Louis, her husband, was on the Board of Education of the City of Pittsburgh. But Florence knew the members of the board, and since Florence was so interested in the elimination of discrimination and integration, she played a very, very important role talking to the superintendent of schools, talking to the president of the Board of Education, talking to the Board of Education itself in order to see to it that something was done about it. And posthumous reward. Only last Saturday, the privilege of Anna and myself to be with Louis at the cornerstone lane of the Florence Reisenstein Middle School in East Liberty. The school, which is, I think, some 1,600 pupils from all over Pittsburgh on an integrated basis, and try a national experiment of innovative teaching and innovative integration for pupils in 6th, 7th, and 8th grades. This will be a test project for the whole United States. It was devised by a group of people from the Education Department at Harvard. They went through many, many struggles in which she was engaged in up until the time of her death, because of opposition of all kinds. But finally, it came to fruition 3 or 4 years after her death, and we had the good fortune to be present at the cornerstone lane, at which time the superintendent of schools, and city officials, and all people interested in public education express their gratitude and appreciation of the great work that Florence Reisenstein had done. If I think back of any one person in my time who had an impact on her city, there is nobody that I can think of who had a great and as lasting an impact as Florence Reisenstein. And being our close friend, she had a lasting impact on us. We don't know anybody whose thinking was more congenial with our home than was Florence Reisenstein.
She was also, I think, on the board, I know, of the United Nations Association.
The college I was thinking of, Steele College.
Ah.
All right. Yeah, Florence was a founder. Florence was also one of the founders of ADA at the Washington Conference called by Eleanor Roosevelt. She also was one of the founders of the Pittsburgh chapter for the United Nations Association, and was very active. At one time she was the president, and she was very active in the organization until the time of her death. She was very much interested in all international comity. She was also a world federalist. And in all the other causes, she was very, very active in seeing to it that somehow, or trying to see to it that somehow, some sort of a world peace or world association could be established that somehow would eliminate or reduce the causes of war.
In case you neglected to tell it.
Coming back to Israel again, one of the proud achievements that I like to take credit for is that one rainy night after the YMHA board meeting, Jim Falk was giving me a lift home, and then up until that time, was certainly not at all favorable to items and projects inside of Israel. The state had just been created, and I was trying to explain to him certain of Israel's needs, and among those that I thought was most important in the early days was the creation of what in America would be the Federal Reserve Bank, a national banking institution, plus all the instrumentalities that feed into the national banking institution. That Israel set up a Bank of Israel, and that then this set up what corresponds to our export-import bank and the various other institutions that are national arms of the economy. The Falk Foundation had just prior to this funded a study at the Brookings Institution in Washington entitled America's Capacity to Produce and America's Capacity to Consume. And I felt that a study of this kind, in its early stages, would be most helpful to Israel. And with it, hand in hand, the machinery for the creation of the Bank of Israel and a school of economics which could develop the personnel to carry out the banking enterprise. So I told Lynn about this, and despite his mild interest in Israel, particularly in the very, very early stages of the development of the state, he caught on, the idea seemed to strike him. He said, I like it. He says, why don't you come down? And this Steele guy was then the director of the Falk Foundation, tomorrow or the next day, and why don't you talk to him about it? So, a day or two later, I did go down to see Mr. Gao. I talked to him several hours. Along these very, very lines, and very much taken with the idea. And in a period of several months, communication with Israel Embassy, with the colleague in Israel, was at that time the Director General of the Prime Minister's Office. We were able to work out a plan which would involve something like $80,000 a year for the first 5 years, which was then adopted by the Falk Foundation. And the $80,000 a year was provided for the first 5 years. It was headed by Don Patenkin, who's still over in Israel and still heads the school. It became the basis of what then became the Kaplan School of Economics in Israel. When the Falk Foundation was to expire in accordance with its charter, and since the project still needed funding, I went to see Mr. Falk and Mr. Gao again and told them about it, and they provided another $450,000 out of the liquidation of the Falk Foundation to carry to fund the school until it was able to take care of itself. The school is functioning, and the school has formed the background of all the economic development in Israel. And I consider this one of my proudest and happiest personal projects that I helped bring to Israel.
Because if it hadn't been for you...
Well, they might have gotten somebody else.
Yeah.
The idea may have come out from somebody else. In order to create the project, my name, pardon me to dredge up the names. The man who was just awarded a Nobel laureate in economics was a man sent over from the University of Pennsylvania, now at Harvard, and he was the one who then filled out the various needs which the Falk Foundation.
You don't mean Samuelson, do you?
No, Jewish man.
Samuel.
From Harvard. He's in Harvard now. He just awarded a Nobel Prize for economics.
I would like to tell you a little bit about that. This all came out of the oral history project, which was by myself and a book. And then we realized that that was too limited a study, and that there were so many people in Pittsburgh who made marvelous contributions, and that these people should be interviewed, and they don't yet have the money so that they know what to do with the data, but they know that they have to get the data while the people are still here and available. Unfortunately, so many people that should have been interviewed are no longer here.
They should have started 100 years ago.
Yes, well, we weren't here 100 years ago either.
But I just wondered. But they don't know yet. Right now, they're making the record. That's all they're doing right now.
Yes, I'm trying to.
But now, what will you have to do with these? Will you have to go through this and type it, or what do you have to do with it?
Well, this material will have to be put in outline form so that everything is touched on that you have said, in case anything does happen to this.
Yeah. But I mean, will you have to type it? Who will do it now?
Somebody. This is what they hope to get money for, because it would be a great deal. Each one of these sides lasts 45 minutes. So that's an hour and a half.
As far as you're concerned, right now, you hand over the tapes.
Right.
That's
what I do. Well, I will make an outline. I
would like to listen to
them again. No, I mean,
if you do, you will type out an outline.
Yes, and tell the things that you touched on.
I see. And then you'll submit that with the tapes.
Someday they will have money. They'll probably get a grant. Somebody is going to put all this data together. I wish I could remember all the other people who were interviewed. I can't right now. I know that Dorothy Blumenthal was, and her experiences were very interesting to record.
Her
family experience and her background and her work.